Radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A high surf warning remains in effect for the California coast. Monster waves have lashed the coast for the last 2 days. In Ventura County, fire official Andy Van Syver telling people to stay away.
With the high tide advisory and the high surf advisory and the storm, we have done all this preparation and we don't want people around.
For the second time in a month, the Biden administration's bypassed Congress, approving an emergency weapons sale to Israel. That determination made by Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine vetoed a bill that would have banned transgender minors from receiving any kind of gender-affirming care. It also would have banned transgender girls from participating in girls' sports. And a federal judge temporarily blocked parts of an Ohio law that would ban some books from school libraries and prohibit teachers from bringing up LGBTQ issues. Federal judge said both of those elements were wildly overbroad. This is ABC News. The wintertime combination of flu, RSV, and COVID is making for a busy time in doctors' offices across the country, says ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
The CDC says 13 states are experiencing very high levels of respiratory illness as millions nationwide suffer coughs, sore throats, and fevers that have them seeking treatment at doctors' offices. Some 73,000 people have been admitted to hospitals as a result of the flu this season. The CDC says 4,500 have died from influenza so far this year.
With the new year 2 days away, Americans making plans and goals for 2024.
At least according to the annual Forbes Health Survey, nearly half of us want to improve our physical fitness over the next 365 days. Close behind that is improving our finances, an apparent reflection of a year when inflation drove up the cost of nearly everything. Near the bottom of the list, 3% of survey respondents hope to drink less alcohol. The same percentage plan to perform better at work.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report finds smart toys pose all kinds of serious risks for families. Mike Moan reports.
The smart toy market is now a more than $16 billion industry and is expected to double by 2027. This holiday season, experts are warning parents to check the safety and privacy features of toys children receive. Teresa Murray with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund says stuffed animals, baby dolls, racer tracks, and even board games may have features that allow them to record conversations and collect personal information and location data.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
This year, the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice charged Amazon with violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act rule by deceiving parents and users of the Alexa voice assistant service about its data deletion practices. The company allegedly kept voice recordings of children and gathered geolocation data and used children's transcripts. Congress did pass tougher toy safety regulations in 2008, triggering a spike in recalled toys that suddenly didn't meet safety standards. Murray says that while the number of unsafe toys has gradually decreased, parents still should inspect their children's toys.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
And while toy-related deaths and injuries treated in emergency rooms among children 14 and younger have declined, hospitals and doctors' offices around the country still see more than 150,000 toy-related injuries a year. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Tuesday, January 2nd, we've got ourselves a double. It's Schwamigan hosting Butternut for girls basketball at 7 p.m. on 103.1, and Mellon hosting Schwamigan boys basketball also at 7 p.m. here on 98. Then, on Monday, January 8th, we've got Phillips hosting Ladysmith girls, again at 7 p.m. on 103.1. High school sports here on 98Q Country, your local civic media radio station.
big win for Badgers hockey. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers men's hockey team won the holiday faceoff with a 3-0 win over Northeastern, the tournament held at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Wisconsin sophomore Simon Tassie with a hat trick, scoring all three goals, heard live on the Badgers radio network.
Tassie, nice catch out of midair on the pass by Kerr. Tassie gains the red line, dumps it in, and follows it up, and he goes five-hole, and he scores! Tassie completes the hat trick thanks to a fortunate bounce. It's 3-0 Wisconsin.
So Wisconsin now 16-4, winning seven straight, and they're ranked sixth in the nation. NBA, the Bucks win 119-111 over the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard, who got into foul trouble early in the first half, came back to score 24 points in the second half, a total of 31 for the night. Lillard's reaction to being benched with three personal fouls before halftime?
I was just pissed off, honestly.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for mixed precipitation, becoming all snow, with fog in spots early today, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs level off around 32, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, chance for snow, lows level off around 24. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for snow. Highs level off around 28. Mainly sunny skies Monday with daytime highs approaching 31. 32 Tuesday. Looking at the long range, 29 Wednesday, 24 Thursday, and 27 on Friday. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, it's 17 degrees.
Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoors Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. That's our motto here, and it's been our motto for a long time, and we mean it. From advocacy to promotion to creating content aimed at educating and informing people about the outdoors. We love it. We live it. We're doing it all the time, and we're doing what we can to ensure that our rights to hunt and fish and provide our rights to hunt and fish and provide what God and the land provides forever for you. And that's where Fish Hunt Forever came from. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. We got a pretty good show for you this week to talk about fishing forever and the sustainability of our fisheries, the effects of technology on those fisheries, and what fishing in deep water might mean. If you're an angler around this region, you probably heard about a video from Uncut Angling that's come out recently in response to a video from Angling Buzz. Well, we've heard Aaron's side of the story, and now we're going to hear from Jeremy Smith's side of the story on that video and what's planned for the future. And he's going to tell us all about that coming up in a little bit on the show. And we're also going to talk about the end of the year. Man, it's a very depressing week for me. Well, last week of the hunting season. We'll talk about how it's going. We want to hear about how your season has gone. But first, Dan Amundson is sitting right over there. Dan?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey. I'm super excited to talk. Before we get into it, I'm super excited to talk to Jeremy about this. This is this topic, when we watched this video, it struck a nerve.
I know it did.
That's all I'll say for now.
When that video came out, what was it, on Wednesday?
Yeah.
And so Wednesday night, our phones were just going crazy. Did you see the video? Did you watch this video yet? So we sat down. I don't know. It was about 11 o'clock probably.
I don't think it was that
10 o'clock.
It was after the Wild game.
So whatever. It was late. And Dan's like, we need to do the podcast right now.
I did not say that directly.
Let's get Jeremy on the phone right now. Let's get him on the show. We need to talk about this because it's a big thing. And as we'll discuss with Jeremy, I think we are appreciative of what Aaron is trying to convey in that video.
Yeah, he's got the right idea. I just feel like there's maybe an unintended message that's going to be spread to our anglers of it might be okay to try to release crappies in deep water.
Yeah,
it might be, but it also might not be. And if it's not and people start doing it a lot, we're going to have issues. And we'll save most of that conversation with Jeremy Smith, but I could talk about it for a long time. I have a lot of thoughts and opinions on it. Maybe we will talk about it again next week when we run out of time.
Well, we got an hour to fill, so I mean.
Well, that's true. Should we just go go for an hour? Want me to just go for an hour? We've got two fine guests sitting across the room who've been sitting here waiting to talk to us. Well, sorry, Dad, you're not going to be on the show again this week.
That's right. So,
whoops, there he is.
There he is, and goodbye. Thanks for joining us. Show's over. That's funny. All right. So, yeah, we got a couple of guys. Wade Amundson, who's my brother and Dan's dad, is joining us here in studio, along with his longtime friend, Russ Gurman. And then we got a couple other buddies here. Jason Marklow is with us, and also Ryan Remmers is with us. We're doing some late-season pheasant hunting, so we're going to talk about how that has gone for us and how wet we're getting and how different it is this year compared to years past. But first, if Dan is ready, we will talk about the sponsors of this week's show.
We love our sponsors. Live Target. Match the hatch at livetargetlures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the Walleye Capital. Plan a trip for this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. We should update that so it's a snow bear. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. We are so close to the new season coming up in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. That's the best I've done that all year.
Well, that's good.
Last year, best year.
Only took you 52 weeks to get better at it.
Yeah.
More so.
And then we'll probably change it all next year.
We do have some new sponsors coming on board. We're going to have to update that. So if you want to be a sponsor of the show, contact us at sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can check out the latest episode of the North American Waterfowl Podcast. We've got another waterfowl-only themed podcast in the first series. First season of that series is all about bands and crazy band stories and banding methods. And Brian Huber is our guest on the new one. He's the birdiologist on Instagram. He's had some wild birding bird banding videos on YouTube. I said, man, you got to be on the show. So I had a chance to talk to him. He's out in California, works for California Waterfowl. So you can listen to that now wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Look for the North American Waterfowl Podcast, or you can watch it on this YouTube channel right here. Sporting Journal Radio.
All right.
The end is here. The end of hunting season. No more cupped wings over decoys. No more long sits in a tree stand. No more heart-thumping flushes from the tall grass. My least favorite week of the year. You know, thankfully we've got holidays bookending it, because otherwise it'd be a rough week for me. I know I probably get into hunting more than most of you guys in this room anyway. I know, Dan, you're probably more on the fishing side of it. Can't do that very much right now.
Yeah, say at least we have ice fishing to look forward to.
Wrong.
Whoops.
Man. By the way, don't ice fish right now. Please be safe out there. I know we're starting. It's been cold again a little bit. It's starting to get cold again a little bit. But my gosh, if you're going to ice fish, please be very, very safe out there.
Yeah, say there's some spots you can go. I know there are.
I don't care.
But just, be really careful, because, that's all not worth it. About that.
It's not worth it. So please, please be safe. All right, how is your hunting season gone? How has your hunting season gone? Please comment below. Leave a message. Leave a comment. Like this video. Share it. Subscribe to our channel. You could win yourself this hoodie right here. Not this one. I'll give you a new one. Promise. Although this one is brand new. Just got this one in the mail today. I like it. Brand new Fish Hunt Forever hoodies in the Sporting Journal Radio store. We got hats, we got hoodies, we got mugs, all kinds of stuff. You can go check it out right now at sportingjournalradio.com, or you could win it if you comment below on our videos. All right. It's been a wild end of the year here, Dan. Obviously, when we were up at Lake of the Woods hunting out of layout boats in 15-degree water in the harbor up at Young's Bay up there, was freezing up. We had to break ice to get back in. When we came in from hunting, we had to break ice to get the boat back to the dock. Would you have ever guessed that at the end of December, we'd have open water?
Never. I've been waiting to take my boat in for repairs. I'm doing that. I'm bringing it to Intune Marine on, like, Tuesday or something. I really wish I'd have done it like 2 months ago, because I could be in it right now going fishing out on open water instead of at the end of hunting season not knowing what to do with my time, because I'm not going ice fishing and I won't have a boat. So, yeah, it's one of the warmest Decembers I can remember, but that happens, you know. The weather's cyclical. Maybe it's – I don't want to go – I don't – Well, I'm going to open a rabbit hole. I don't want to go down.
And all you have to do is look back in your memories on Facebook or Snapchat or wherever, and you'll see, I think 3 years ago, we had a brown Christmas. Yep. You know, it was probably a little bit colder, but I know I've got a picture of, I think, us pheasant hunting this time of year a couple of years ago, and there was no snow on the ground. Last year was maybe a different story.
It was very, very snowy.
Yeah, I saw a Snapchat memory of a snowdrift over my door of my house. Like, I had to basically crawl through a window to get the door open.
Yeah.
And because it was completely drifted over the top of the door. So
everything equals out, you know. We talked about it with, like, the Vikings. The Vikings had a great season last year, now kind of a pretty whatever season this year. They average out. They had a, you know.
Why'd you have to bring them up? Like, I'm already depressed enough this week.
We need to talk, because who cares?
Yeah, I don't. But the Wild, you know, at least we have the Wild. They've turned things around.
Yeah, a new coach.
Pretty excited about that. How wild is that?
We should talk to him about barotrauma. Get their thoughts.
We are going to talk to Jeremy Smith from Angling Buzz. They put out the barotrauma video. In fact, we had Jeremy on this very show a few months ago, I suppose, to talk about it.
Yeah, that's this summer. Yeah.
Something like that. We're going to have Jeremy on again to respond to the Uncut Angling video that came out that was talking about flaws in their methods and all of that stuff. So we'll have Jeremy respond in just a few minutes. And we're going to come back and talk about our favorite moments of the year. We want to hear about yours as well and talk to our guests that we got here in studio. So more from Sporting Journal Radio on the way.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Comment below on anything we talk about, and you could win yourself some gear from the Sporting Journal Radio store. Dan Amundson sitting right over there showing off the lovely Live Target gear.
Live Target. We love our friends at Live Target.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Live Target.
And over there underneath the Live Target banner, we have my brother and Dan's dad, Wade Amundson, on the left, and his longtime friend, Russ Gurman, on the right. Guys, how's it going?
Hey, great.
Russ, great. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw you.
It's been quite a few years, probably 30 at least, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Probably.
Yep.
My memory that I always tell people when your name comes up is you and I driving up to the Boundary Waters. And we were going to meet Wade, and I don't remember who else was on that trip, but we were driving separate, and I hopped in your Ranger?
Probably the Ranger, yeah. The Red Ranger.
It was the Red Ranger.
Yep.
And this is back before, you know, Google Maps and GPS and all that, so we might have had a paper map. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, we had an Atlas, one of those fold-out ones. Yep.
We're trying to find, I think were we trying to find the Chainsaw Sisters Saloon?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's where we were
going. Yeah, we were going in at Chainsaws, and there was a forest road that looked like it was a shortcut that was going to save, like, 3 miles. So you guys decided to go.
Yeah.
I think it was more than that. I think it would have saved us, like, an hour. It might have been 3 miles as a crow flies. It did not. It did not. Russ, do you want to take the story from here?
Oh, from what I remember, we had to build a bridge with logs.
He's not kidding.
There was a bridge there, but the width of the planks didn't quite match up with the truck, so we fell off a few times.
We did. Like, all of a sudden, the one wheel is hanging over. So let's describe this a little bit. It was a river or a bigger creek, and it was probably a 4-foot drop or so.
Yep.
And maybe 10 feet wide. I mean, this is a long time ago, so it might be a little fuzzy, but something like that. Water's rushing. Like, there's pretty good movement. I don't think it was real deep. I mean, I wasn't really fearful of my life or anything. But if we'd have dumped that truck,
it would have been we'd need a wrecker, that's for sure.
We would have been there a lot longer than we already were.
Would have shortened up our fishing trip.
Well, and worse, we wouldn't have known where you were.
Yeah,
we had no idea where, I think you guys went up ahead of us, we had no idea where you would have been.
Yep.
No one would have known.
Yeah, well, that was,
we might not be having this conversation today because you guys have been gone.
I think we would have survived. I remember thinking, I'm not sure we should be going this way, when the road turned into like a two-track and like branches were scraping the side of the truck. And then there was a duck swimming in the road in front of us. I might be mixing up the trips, but if I remember right, there was a flooded part of the road and like a mallard swimming down the road. I'm like, it's not that deep. Drove through that and then got to that river and tried to cross. And I'm like,
Yeah, that took a few hours to get through. We made it though.
We made her. I think we had to go back. Didn't we back? Did we make it across, or do we have to backtrack and go around?
I think we ended up backtracking. Yep. Good times.
Sounds like it.
And saying that wouldn't have been the first time you got that truck stuck.
No, no.
I've got pictures of Russ with that truck up to the axles in mud and back in the woods, and we were cutting trees and putting it under the wheels then, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't learn quickly, do you?
No, it's fun, though.
So how do you guys know each other?
Well, we're high school friends.
Yeah. So we met shortly after I moved back to Woodbury back in 1984.
Yep.
And we started hanging out and spent a lot of times working on our Volkswagen Beetles. And
that's right.
Drinking some Pfeiffer Longnecks. And pretty soon now we're chasing long-tailed roosters today. So it's been kind of full circle.
Yeah. Russ, did you take him in as a pity friend, or how'd that happen?
Wow.
He always needed help getting his car to run.
So. Thanks, son.
You can't come on this show and not get made fun of by me.
Wow.
What'd you expect?
Well, a little respect. I mean, come on.
I love you.
Yeah, I love you,
that
too.
That counts for anything.
Well,
it should. You came out and pheasant hunted with us.
Yeah. Hey, Russ did show me a rare talent that I have, though, and that is holding a flashlight so whoever's doing the real work can see. I mastered that.
What were we talking about last night, that something that we did was something that we got from you, Wade, that you got from Russ? What was that last night that we were?
Well, I think, for what I would say is it started, we always grew up hunting in Wisconsin, but at one point, I think it was on one of our canoe trips, Russ and I were talking about we should deer hunt. And so he invited me up to his parents' place, and we deer hunted in Minnesota for the first time.
Now, there was something else. I'm trying to remember. It was something that... Well, whatever. It doesn't matter now.
Cool story, man.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping one of you guys would have a better memory than I would, but... Oh, it was Yukon Jack.
Oh!
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was Yukon Jack.
Because the first alcohol I ever had was Yukon Jack at Lower Basswood Falls with you guys, which is a great campsite, by the way. It's a top secret. Don't tell anybody about it. It's a really cool place. We used to love going there. And Dan, what was your first...
My mom listens to this show.
I think that's cat's out of the bag.
She doesn't know.
Yeah, right. So,
anyways, Yukon Jack.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, in the Boundary Waters.
And where did the Yukon come from?
The store.
Yeah,
Russ got it.
Well, the concept was we wanted to be able to drink while we were up there, but you had to pack in everything you took with you. So the most potent alcohol we could find was Yukon Jack, 100 proof. So, wow. You know, it's two cases of beer or a bottle of Yukon Jack and a wine flask.
The flask. Yeah.
We had those leather, pseudo-leather wine flask, wine skins that we'd fill up with Yukon Jack and another one of Rumplemints or something and sit up there and watch the stars come up over the waterfall.
You were great. Definitely a bad influence because I remember the Yukon. I was like 13 probably.
You were not.
And then 14, I'm getting hot chocolate for breakfast. Well, this tastes kind of minty.
What? Yeah.
Why does this taste like toothpaste? Oh, that's Rumplemints.
That might have been our cousin Jeff's influence. I'm just saying. It might not have been us too.
Well, we all turned out okay for the most part.
Well.
Yeah, it's debatable, I guess, at this point. Russ, what else have you been up to? You've been taking some cool trips anywhere?
You know, this trip this week, went down to Iowa a few times with my son-in-law. Did some pheasant hunting down there over in, Jackson, Iowa, or Jefferson, Iowa. We went, did a couple trips down there, got some birds. Went up to northern Minnesota a few times, duck hunting, grouse hunting. Got my daughter, my youngest daughter, in the duck boat with me this year.
Cool.
She wasn't hunting, but she was all camoed up and sitting in the duck boat. Had a great time. She thinks maybe she wants to get a gun.
Oh, perfect.
Maybe do that. So did a lot of duck hunting and didn't get a whole lot, but it's, you know, it's opener. I think we were swatting mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a hot, hot opener. And really, until this week, most of the pheasant hunting has been warm. You know, the dogs get hot. And got to drink a lot of water. And
I won't say it's been cold out there this week, but it's been wet.
Yeah. This morning was with the snow on the reeds, and you know it kind of stuck to your pants and melted, and yeah, it a little chilly. So we've got dry socks on now and ready to go out again.
I was able to get in there, and thankfully I didn't go over my boots. I went way over my boots yesterday a few times. How did your grouse hunting go this year up there?
You know, I had one flush. I only got up one weekend. It was super windy, so I had my wife and daughter went with me. They were kind of the trail walkers, and the dog and I, we were out, you know, beating the brush, and it was just so windy. They were, you know, holding tight, but it's been a great year up north for grouse, so.
Well, I'm glad you could make it out. I know Wade mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that he was gonna try to get you out here, and I'm glad it worked out, so. It's good to see
you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's we've been trying to get out here for, well, we've been, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it because that's just it. We haven't hunted together in ages. Your job took you different states, and we, you know, just weren't able to stay in contact outside of social media and telephone. So finally, you're back in Minnesota, and we get a chance to get out and chase some birds.
Yep.
It's a great day.
And we're not done. I know Jason and Ryan went and got us some chicken. So we got to go. We got to talk to Jeremy Smith. We got to eat some chicken. And then there's one guy in the group that doesn't have a bird yet.
Oh, man. Here we go.
His name rhymes with Schmade.
That's the best you could come
with. You know, I was going to talk about my favorite moment of the year was hunting with you guys. But now I'm not sure this is really someplace I want to go again.
Well, it's not over yet.
It's not over
yet. It's still time to turn it around. And you've had some opportunities. We'll just all carry cameras, and you can be the only one carrying a gun this afternoon.
I don't think that'll help me.
You know what? You know, I'll give you, you got to build some confidence. You're a good shot.
You are a good shot.
So, yeah. You know what? Yeah. You got this one. Hey, positive influence.
Hey, I believe in you, Wade.
I've shot plenty of pheasants this year. If I continue to miss, it's okay.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. More with the Sporting Journal Radio when we come back, including Jeremy Smith from Angling Buzz talking about barrel trauma, forward-facing sonar, and uncut angling. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and 8 colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Otter Tail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, hey, hey! Grab your partner and stop by Jack's Corner Bar in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Now open Mondays for Mexican night, Thursday burger and fries, Friday fish fry with salad bar, and Saturdays look forward to pork and dumplings for lunch, and Saturday night gets set for a tasty prime rib with salad bar, along with daily deep-fried chicken special, great for your palate and easy on your wallet. At Jazz Corner Bar, located on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
Park Manor River's Edge is 100% employee-owned, a 92-bed skilled nursing facility that provides excellent care and rehabilitation to those requiring a short-term rehab stay or long-term care. Their new leadership team would like to invite you to check out some open positions that include sign-on bonus opportunities, competitive wages, and great benefit packages. Start your career path today with a company that also offers on-site nurse aid training and career ladder opportunities. See them at parkmanorwi.com or stop by at 250 Lawrence Avenue in Park Falls. Park Manor, River's Edge. One company, one team.
The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Hey, I don't care what kind of tractor you drive or what color it is. I'm going to ask you to check out a new tractor. It's made for landscapers, hobby farmers, and landowners. Fully loaded with features and backed by a strong warranty, TYM Tractors have earned the Top Dealer's Choice Award for 4 years running. No smoke and mirrors, just a solid tractor to get the job done. And you get the best incentives of the year by visiting TYMOffers.com. That's TYMOffers.com. Durable and affordable. You can thank me later.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for mixed precipitation to become in all snow with fog in spots early today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 32. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for snow. Lows level off around 24. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for snow. Highs level off around 28. Mainly sunny skies Monday with daytime highs approaching 31. 32 Tuesday. Looking at the long range, 29, Wednesday, 24, Thursday, and 27 on Friday. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. It's been a pretty interesting week for a number of reasons, and we thought we were sliding into this last week of the year as a pretty easy one. We got some friends and family in town, and we were going to go pheasant hunting and just talk about the last year. And then a video drops on the internet and just drops a bombshell on everything. So Uncut Angling put out a video about barotrauma and forward-facing sonar, and specifically called out a video that Angling Buzz did with Jeremy Smith and a couple of the other guys there at Lindner's, and along with the DNR. And let's just bring Jeremy on. Jeremy is with us right now. And Jeremy, my phone went crazy when that video came out. I can't imagine what your phone was like.
Hey guys, yeah, no, it was pretty interesting. We were in the studio, and ironically enough, we were putting together a forward-facing sonar unit when Jake came in and's like, "You guys aren't going to believe this Uncut Angling video just dropped, and you're getting called out." So no, it was interesting to see. Obviously, it, you know, when he put something out, people pay attention, and it definitely got the attention of a lot of folks.
Yeah, and you know, to his credit, he's good on YouTube. He makes entertaining videos. He's got a huge following. But the issue that I have is I think he was just misguided in everything that he went out and did. And I don't want to sit here and bash Aaron by any means, because, you know, I think he's done a lot of good things for anglers and shown people how to catch some fish. But for him to come out and say, you know, that you're using bad science and it's extremely flawed, and then went out to proceed to catch all these crappies in really deep water and watch them on a live scope swim down to the bottom, and then say that everything these guys did is wrong, and he did, I guess, Dan, he did go on and kept saying, don't fish in deep water, yep, and then proceeded to fish in deep water and showed these fish going back safely. Now, I mean, to me, that's just slightly irresponsible. That's my personal opinion on it. Jeremy, when it comes to what he was saying about the study, I think the other thing that it's important to remember is this wasn't a one-time thing, right? Like, you guys weren't going out there to do this so the DNR can make decisions based off this one time out there, or two times out there, whatever it was, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll just say, to start, too, that I think I've watched pretty much every video that Aaron's done. Incredibly talented angler, done some awesome stuff. And so just to clarify as well, that Lindner Media didn't do this science. We try to work as closely with the DNR whenever we can with fisheries issues, because we're in the fishing industry, and healthy fisheries make our job a lot easier. And it's really important, you know, obviously for anybody who enjoys the outdoors, to have great healthy fisheries. So, that was a pilot project also. So Mike Hainer, a coworker of mine, is on this panfish work group. So it's a group of stakeholders that works with the Minnesota DNR to look at different fisheries issues in regards to panfish. So whether it's the Quality Sunfish Initiative, barotrauma had been coming up for a long time, anglers having concern about it. And so they decided to move forward with a pilot project to try to understand what they could do to somehow quantify what the effects are of barotrauma. Of course, it wasn't perfect, but it was the, you know, something to get the ball rolling. And I think anybody who has fished for crappies in late fall during the ice, you know, I think about one of the first times that I saw it really bad was I'd taken a few anglers out on a lake in northern Minnesota here, and we were catching crappies, and they were like 18 feet down over like, you know, 22 feet of water, adjacent to a basin, and we were catching fish, and it was fun, and all the fish appeared to be fine, And we went and fished some other spots and came back. And, well, there was a bunch of fish floating, you know, an hour later. So that was, you know, this is years ago. It's like, holy man, this is pretty serious. And I think anybody who's ice fished, you know, Minnesota here, probably Wisconsin, gone to one of the crappie holes where there's a bunch of fish houses and you have a year where there's clear ice, have seen a bunch of dead crappies sitting up under the ice. So we know that fishing in deep water, you know, can have some negative effects on the fish. And Aaron brought that up as well. But just wanted to make the point that we didn't conduct this survey. This was a pilot project. And these are the results. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the fish, you know, that was one of the first things we saw, too, is that the fish were hitting the edge of the net. That's a bad deal. And I will also say that we did use forward-facing sonar. We did set up a couple units as well to watch fish that were caught from that same basin. And we did see fish return back towards the bottom. We saw fish that went down about 12 feet and just seemed to swim at that 12-foot range for a long time until we couldn't keep track of any anymore. And we did see fish that went down and then floated back up and were not seen again. So without the net, we saw, you know, some results as well. So it's not perfect, but, you know, really the goal is just to try to, you know, make sure that we've got healthy fisheries in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that it wasn't out to...
And I'll also say real quick that I am not against forward-facing sonar.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, obviously, and you and I are in a work group with the DNR to discuss the effects of forward-facing sonar and you know, what's going to happen, what could happen in the future. Nobody wants to ban it. The DNR doesn't want to ban it. We've had meetings with the DNR about this topic. And in fact, I was kind of surprised about how some of them were so like, yeah, we don't want to ban forward-facing sonar. We like it, you know, whatever. We're not going to put more restrictions on anglers out there. I was talking to somebody else too about the net specifically and about fin clips. And you talk about safe handling and keeping the fish out of the water. And he was doing percentages and I don't know where he was coming up with these numbers, but without a fin clip or that net, how else do you track these fish? What's the better solution? You know, and obviously I'm sure you guys are already trying to think of that right now. And of course you don't want to keep the fish out of the water any longer than you have to, but what are better solutions? And obviously the DNR has used those vertical nets like that in a lot of studies in the past. That's what they have. That's what they've used. That's what they know. What's a better option? How else would you be able to track these fish, Jeremy?
Yeah, so I don't mean to step on what they have in mind for this, but, you know, kind of, again, coming back to the just using the forward-facing sonar as a tool is something we definitely want to explore and look at catching a number of fish with that, seeing what their response is, and then possibly following up then with an underwater drone, basically, to go back, look under the ice in a grid pattern, and then also search the bottom after an extended period of time to see what we see. We have no idea how that's gonna work either, but that would be, you know, probably the least handling of the fish. But again, it's not our project. We just thought it was of interest and wanted to make sure that we, you know, show people that, again, like Aaron said, catching fish from deep water can often have some negative consequences.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've all seen it. Anyone who's fished in deep water, and I think that is ultimately one of the messages that is out there that has frustrated me about that video the most, is that I understand he continues to say don't fish in deep water, but when people, particularly younger anglers, saw him make a point of catching those fish in deep water and releasing them and saying they're, you know, essentially saying they're fine, that I think is what a big takeaway is going to be for a lot of people. So that's one of the issues that I had with that video, because the whole thing behind the barrel trauma study is to try to educate anglers about the dangers of fishing deep water, and to try to, if you're gonna do it, at least catch your 5 or 10 or whatever your limit is in that body of water and get out of there. You know, keep the first 5 you catch or whatever if you're just trying to catch fish to cook. But if you're out there to catch 50, you know, you could definitely be doing some damage on those fish. And the other thing, when you say using an underwater drone, and we got to take a quick break, so I'll let you answer this on the other side, but if you got a school of crappies that are 40, 50 fish deep, maybe, 40 to 50 fish thick, maybe it's not that big, 30 fish, 10 fish, whatever the case may be, is if it's bopping back down there into a school of similarly sized crappies, how can you track that fish? You know, that's my biggest issue. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that with Jeremy Smith when we come back, talking about barotrauma and forward-facing sonar and more on Sporting Journal Radio.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike. Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Jingle bells are ringing throughout the North Woods, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from North Woods Community Credit Union in Park Falls and Ashland. Years have come and years have gone, but one thing has remained the same since 1953. NCCU's heart is always in the communities they serve, providing the latest in financial services to kids, teens, and the big kids at heart, too. See them on Facebook or stop in to one of their locations in Park Falls and Ashland. Northwoods Community Credit Union, federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration, and membership eligibility is required.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Season's greetings and holiday cheer to all from Northwood Supper Club in Fifield, Wisconsin. Bring in a new year in our winter wonderland with our special New Year's weekend menu. Saturday features Alaskan crab legs, prime rib, braised beef short ribs, jumbo shrimp, scallops, barbecued ribs, and more. New Year's Eve Sunday offers mouth-watering cold water lobster, delicious meat entrees, and seafood sides. Top it all off, release the signature cocktails and delectable desserts. Serving from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. both days. Reserve your spot now at 715-762-4447 at Northwoods Supper Club in Fifield, Wisconsin. Please see our Facebook for complete details. And just look for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for mixed precipitation, becoming all snow, with fog in spots early today, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs level off around 32, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast, tonight, chance for snow, lows level off around 24. Overcast skies, tomorrow, slight chance for snow, highs level off around 28. Mainly sunny skies, Monday, with daytime highs approaching 31. 32, Tuesday. Looking at the long range, 29, Wednesday, 24, Thursday, and 27 on Friday. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
This is Morning Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on this radio station or watching this on YouTube, or maybe you downloaded the podcast. Thank you very much. If you like it, please give us a like, give us a share, give us a review, subscribe to the podcast. Or if we're saying something that you've got an opinion about, comment below on our YouTube channel. We'd love to hear from you. Everybody that comments on our videos is entered to win a new hoodie like this one right here, or a hat, or something from our Fish Hunt Forever Sporting Journal Radio store. Find that at sportingjournalradio.com. Jeremy Smith.
How about that?
Except that. Oh. That might be a little aggressive. Jeremy Smith is our guest right now. They had an Angling Buzz video that came out, that Aaron Weeb then came out with an uncut video trying to expose the bad science. And I just, like I've told a lot of people, I think Aaron's heart was in the right place. I just think his anger is a bit misguided, or maybe anger is not the right word for it. But I appreciate his efforts. I just didn't like the way he went about it. And Jeremy, you know, specifically, I think his biggest, I feel like his the biggest takeaway was he was trying to trash the, or you know, say that the vertical net was the issue. And then, of course, the fin clipping and keeping fish out of water and all of that. What do you think the better methods are? You know, or if you're going to use an underwater drone to follow a fish around, how do you keep track of that single fish in a school of crappies?
Well, I don't have all the answers for that. But, you know, in terms of following the fish around with the drone, I think that a forward-facing sonar is a better tool for that. It would be more likely that we would use the drone to come back to that area and look at the bottom to see if there are dead fish on the bottom, and then look under the ice, see if there are dead fish under the ice after a certain period of time, and we know the areas that the fish were caught in. So, I mean, that's a possibility. It's hard to get close to some fish with that drone as well. Some critters like smallmouth seem to be curious about it. Panfish, you know, can kind of go either way with it. So, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I think that, you know, having that forward-facing sonar just to see what happens, and maybe there's some threshold where the fish are fine, and there's a, you know, maybe if you're the basin depth seems to have some relevance to how the fish are. So it does seem like that if you're, you know, if the basin was 35 and you're catching the fish at 30 versus 45 and you're catching the fish at 30, and this is just anecdotal, that it does seem like there's more severe barrel trauma, which doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense because the fish are at the same depth, but perhaps they spend a little bit more time near the bottom where there's a little bit more pressure. And so I don't have all the answers, but I think it's worth exploring and seeing what we can learn. The technology is absolutely amazing. There's never been a technology, in my opinion, that's been more powerful. Obviously mapping is a huge deal, but it does make the fishing experience great. There's so much that you can learn from it. It really is remarkable. And I know that you can take this tool with a good team if you want to go put the hammer down on crappies. And I'm not saying that just because you find fish, you can catch all the fish, but you can do some serious damage with this tool. And that's kind of our point, is that, you know, how do we educate people about this? How do we make sure that we're not using this to just go, you know, sweep a lot of these fish out of these systems? And, you know, kind of like we talked about too in the meeting, Brett, is understanding, you know, what's really there right now, and how is this technology affecting the fish? Because we don't know, and we're not trying to make assumptions that this is going to ruin fishing. We're just saying that it can be a lot more, you can be a lot more effective with it than without it in most cases.
My head exploded the first time I used LiveScope. Like the ability to see and learn that fish behavior is unlike anything else out there when it comes to electronics. I mean, underwater, it's as close to an underwater camera that you can use in murky water. It's the only way that I can kind of describe it. You can see tail beats. You know, you can see a fish reacting to your bait. When you had a traditional sonar and you saw an arc that was stationary, you thought maybe fish are just laying on the bottom somewhere. When you start seeing them with forward-facing sonar, all of a sudden they're moving. You know, depending on the fish species, they can be very, very active. You can see them react. Some of them are getting shined and don't like the sonar, and they're leaving. They're getting pressured. The LiveScope is not a magic fish catcher, but I've definitely caught a lot of fish that I wouldn't have caught without it. And like I said in that meeting, we've, you know, Dan and I sat on a pot of fish one time trying to catch them because they were there on the live scope and some were chasing, but clearly they were either the wrong species or they were really turned off or what. And we wasted an hour and didn't catch a fish. And we had fish all over the place underneath us. So I love it. I think it's going to get, as the price comes down on the technology, it's a great recruitment tool for getting kids involved or getting, you know, people that aren't traditional anglers involved because, my gosh, instead of staring at the surface of the water for hours, especially if you're trolling and you're nodding off while you're not catching anything, all of a sudden you see a whole world under the surface. You're seeing weed beds. You're seeing tree stumps, maybe submerged vehicles or some sort of structure that's down there that you had no idea about. It's fascinating. Nobody wants to see forward-facing sonar disappear, including the DNR, and which is why we're part of that group to discuss it just a little bit. And I think the biggest thing that's going to come out of this discussion is education. Education when it comes to barotrauma, education when it comes to forward-facing sonar, and it's going to come down to personal responsibility, which is what I think should be more practiced more often in the real world with everybody anyway. Take responsibility for yourself. Don't put too much pressure on the fisheries. Don't go out there and catch, you know, catch two limits in a day. Don't go out there and catch and release fish in 50 feet of water when you know half of them are probably not going to survive it. You know, take some personal responsibility out there and understand the effects of what you're using, what you're doing, and where you're doing it. And know that we want to keep these fisheries sustainable for the future and future generations. So that's the bottom line, I think, in all of this is more about education and not regulation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more with that. It does seem like when you're having these discussions, it always comes back to, you know, education. And I am certainly not one for increasing restrictions on fisheries or taking away opportunity for no good reason, right?
But right.
We just need to really understand what the implications are. Switching topics a little bit, you know, muskies, that came up in the discussion before. That's something that I'm a muskie fisherman and love it. And it's a really big concern that, you know, going out again in June and early July and seeing dead muskies floating on the lake, which you'd never seen in your life before, like, hey man, something's happening. These are big, precious fish. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to manage this? What's happening? We need to take good care of these fish. And I think the only thing you can do is to educate people on it.
It's trying to be proactive. For once, I feel like we're actually trying to be proactive in this state. And honestly, the thing I like about Aaron's video is it's creating these discussions. We're having these discussions. We're self-policing ourselves. You know, it's Aaron had some points. We've got some points here. And so it's trying to find the answers. We don't have all the answers. And so it's generating discussion, which is ultimately good. We just hope that we're not putting